Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
One of the virtues that Aristotle discusses, along with its corresponding vices, in both the Nicomachean Ethics and also the closely connected Eudaimonian Ethics, which is less often read but has some interesting things to contribute, is what gets translated frequently as liberality. The Greek for that is eleutheria, which literally means being a free person, acting like the kind of person who understands their own freedom and what it means to be a free person. But I think it's better termed in our contemporary language, generosity. We tend to understand that a little bit better. And what is this concerned with? Aristotle puts his finger right on the pulse of this. It has to do with two different things that are correlative to each other. Giving or spending, and taking or getting. And of what? Time? Energy? No. Wealth. Specifically money, but also the things that money can buy. So could it include time? Could it include attention? Could it include things along those lines? Yes, it could include those as well, insofar as they are measurable by money. But this has to do specifically with how one uses their resources and how one gets resources, the in and out, the ebb and flow, and the directions that these things take, and the habits. Remember, virtues and vices are habits. The habits, the patterns by which one does these sorts of things. So it would also include the models by which one governs oneself. So let's start by thinking just in terms, really basic terms, of the virtue being the mean state between vices. Now, normally we say there's, you know, a virtue and it's the mean, it's the middle state between an excess and a deficiency on one side or the other. But in this case, the two vicious dispositions tend to have vices that are connected with these two different correlatives. So the person who's on the vicious end of being what we call stingy or a tightwad, or there's a lot of different names for that, is going to have a deficiency in giving or spending, and they may also have an excess in taking, in the ways in which they take. And it won't just be a numerical excess. It will be excessive in other ways as well that we'll talk about in a moment. On the other side, the person who is what we call a prodigal, which is not the best translation, somebody who spends more than they ought to, they give more than they ought to, there's an excess there. Oftentimes, along with that, there's a deficiency in taking. Now, as Aristotle notes, this kind of person can actually end up shifting over to this side, in part because they spend everything that they've got, and now they have to start, you know, getting away from the deficiency in taking and start taking from wherever they can get just so that they can continue to give or just to keep themselves afloat. In fact, the Greek word for what they were translating as prodigality literally means something like being without means, asostos. The vice over here is just the opposite as far as the Greek goes, eleutheria on eleutheria, meaning a lack of eleutheria, a lack of liberality, a lack of generosity. So, what characterizes the generous person? Is it just that they are perfectly in the middle, they don't give too much, sort of like Goldilocks, not too much, not too little, they don't take too much, they don't take too little? It's not that simple. There's a number of different characteristics that set apart the liberal person from these two extreme vices. One thing to keep in mind as well, and I'm going to try to close with this too, just to keep it in everybody's memory. Aristotle's very clear in talking about this, in saying that not everybody has this virtue or one of these vices. Some people don't fit any of them. That means that they're just sort of perhaps, you know, going this way or going this way but not already there, or they just don't have enough of a settled character one way or the other. The goal is to be virtuous, not just to not be vicious. It's to be virtuous. So what is a generous person like in Aristotle's book? There's a number of rights. Virtue is always concerned with not just the right amount, which is going to be very important for money, but also the right time, the right occasion, for the right things, and to the right people. This is particularly important if we're thinking about gifts, if we're thinking about charity, if we're thinking about reciprocity in say, buying drinks or buying meals or things like that. It's important that it be not just the right amount, but also with the right persons. And it will also have to do with the person who is engaged in giving. If you have more, then you can afford to give more. Aristotle says that the generous person does not give so much that they can't possibly stay afloat themselves. That would actually be over here. That would be too much. Too much for them. And what might be too much for me may not be too much for somebody who's earning twice the salary that I'm earning, or four times the salary. They probably ought to give more. They probably have greater superfluities, as he calls them. Now, on the other hand, if somebody is earning four times as much as I have, but they've got, you know, five kids to support, maybe they can't give as much. Maybe they need to focus on what their family requires. Maybe their generosity ought to be confined more within those bounds. Aristotle doesn't discuss that much in those sections, but that's a wrinkle that you could introduce to it. In any case, the right amount is going to be what is actually appropriate. So they're not going to be people who throw their money around. That's not real generosity for Aristotle. That's prodigality. They're going to do it at the right time, on the right occasions, for the right sorts of projects. They're not just going to, you know, throw money into just anything, even if they have extra money laying around. They're going to actually pay attention to what they're spending their money on. That's part of this. The person who's generous is not somebody who doesn't value money. They are somebody who values money lower than other certain things, which we'll get to in a moment. But they do pay attention to their money. They pay attention to their possessions. They pay attention to their resources, because those are things that you can actually use. Giving it to the right persons. So, for example, giving money to somebody who is themselves spendthrift, prodigal, is probably not a good idea. They're just going to waste it. You probably should do something like put that money into a trust fund or dole it out a bit at a time. That would modify the amount, right? Or there could be some people who you just shouldn't give any money to. There may be occasions on which you should not give people money. So that's going to be important. Another thing is they're motivated by doing something that goes beyond the sphere of just money or even just financial security. Aristotle thinks that financial security is a good thing. It's something that we ought to value. We do need, in fact, to have certain means. He would be perfectly along the same lines or on the same page as many of the money managers that are out there who have, you know, radio shows or books or things like that, in saying you need to pay attention to your own resources. You need to build them up. You need to restrict how much you're spending on certain things and who you're giving to. And you also need to think about, you know, income streams and things like that. He would be for that. But here's the key question, and the better money managers out there are very attuned to this. What are you using the money for? What is the money intended to do? Is it intended just to buy you a lot of creature comforts? Those are nice, but that's not all that life is about. Is it just about feeling like a big shot? Is it about dealing with the fears that you might have from times when you actually were destitute or strapped or deep in debt and feeling like, well, I'm not going to have that on my back anymore? It has to go beyond that for Aristotle in order to be this virtue of generosity. It has to be about doing what he calls, and the Greeks have this category, the kalon. It can be translated as beautiful, can be translated as honorable, can be translated as noble, fine. You get the idea. Something whose value is recognizable by people who understand that sort of thing. So, for example, do you spend the money going around doling it out to people who need some sort of charitable aid? Or do you create something that would say, not only get them off the streets, but perhaps seek to provide them jobs, give them training? That would be more in lines of what Aristotle's calling the generous. The liberal person, the person who is motivated by this, does not reduce everything down to the mere expedient or the useful. They recognize that there are some things that are of higher value. Friendship itself, cultivation of other people, helping them to steer themselves towards virtue, those would be things that would fall under the cologne. promoting an artist who is actually producing something that might be of some social value or turn people's heads towards other things that are cologne rather than just slapping paint around and writing some political message or something like that. You know, things that would be the cologne. Hiring an artist so that you look like a big shot, probably not so much the cologne. There's one other thing that I really want to focus on here, and that is the feelings of pleasure and pain. The person who has this virtue feels pleasure in giving. They feel pleasure, Aristotle says, in giving when it's the right time to give. If they're compelled to give more or to the wrong things, they will actually feel a small amount of pain, he says. They'll still do it. You know, for example, bailing somebody out of jail is probably a case where even if you are generous, you ought to feel like, oh man, I really got to spend my money on this. There's so many other better things I could be spending it on. But, you know, this person needs my help. They're probably a friend or a family member or perhaps even a colleague. I'll do it for them, but man. So you would feel that sense of pain. That's very different than saying, hey, you know what? I think I could create a scholarship for this person, or at least contribute to it. Or, you know, even think about micro-lending, right? Micro-lending could be a matter of the cologne. And you should take pleasure in giving. You should also feel some degree, he says this in the Eudaimon Ethics, some degree of pain when you're dispensing your money, or else you're going to probably end up being spendthrift, because you do want to be conscious of this. Money managers are really smart with this these days, they say. It's better to do it with cash or a check, because then you actually see your money going out, rather than doing with credit cards where it feels somewhat painless and can get you deep into debt. And you might say that credit cards are, in fact, something that pushes people towards this vice of prodigality in our own time. Now let's look at these vices. So let's start with prodigality, right? People who are prodigal, they give more than they ought to the wrong people on the wrong occasions. It could be that they do it all the time or indiscriminately to anybody who asks. They have a hard time saying no to people, a hard time saying no to things. They may in fact be doing so because they like the feeling that spending gives them. Some people get addicted to shopping, and that would probably be a form of prodigality, Aristotle would say. The shopping itself gives them a sort of pleasure. It makes them feel, like they say, alive. It gives them a sense of power. Some people like spending money so that they can have power over people, so that they can feel like they're, for once, the big shot, being attended to, being paid attention to. That would probably be prodigality as well, rather than virtue of liberality. What else needs to be said? They don't take rightly quite often. Sometimes these are people who want to give rather than take, and they don't pay attention to what they're doing. He talks about some people who are prodigal don't like to keep accounts. They don't like to pay attention to how much is actually being spent or going out. In part, I would guess, he doesn't completely, you know, spell this out, but in part because that detracts from the pleasure of getting to spend. So now what's the problem with this? Well, there's really two problems, two sets of problems. One is, if you do that sort of thing, pretty soon you can't be prodigal forever, right? Unless you have an unlimited supply of wealth. In most cases, you're going to burn through your resources, and then you're not going to be able to give when you ought to give. You won't be able to take care of even yourself or your family or other, you know, obligations that you have. So that's one problem. The other problem is that this person has a screwed up affective relationship with money or wealth. They don't see what money really is for. It's not just for providing bare necessities. It's also not just for spreading it everywhere and just having a great time. It's for doing things that are intrinsically valuable, worthwhile, elevated, noble. This person may do some things, they may spend on some good things, but they're not doing that because they realize that those are good things. How can you tell? Because they don't conserve their money for those things. They just throw it everywhere, and if some of it happens to stick to the right things, then they think, great, I'm you know, a benefactor, I'm a philanthropist or something like that. But they're not really. They're just sort of indiscriminately spending it. Now, Aristotle actually thinks this kind of person is not as bad as this kind of person. that you can take people like that and you can, you know, say, sit them down with a money manager and actually get them to see, oh man, I shouldn't have all these credit cards. I actually don't want to be in debt the rest of my life. You can actually get them to reason out what's good for them and to shift over this way. So that's good. Some of the people on this end, Aristotle actually considers incurable. Now, you know, we could debate about that. I'm just telling you what he thinks. Let's look at what the problems are with this other extreme, this other set of vices. There's a deficiency in giving, a reluctance to spend money, a reluctance to, you know, let go of possessions. And there can also be an excess in taking. And these both stem from misvaluing, misunderstanding the relationship between various kinds of goods. They set money up or possessions up too high, and other things like, say, friendship, relationships, self-respect, too low. And this can take a lot of different forms, Aristotle says. Some people are just stingy. They don't actually want what their neighbor has. They just want to hold on to what they've got. It could be because of fears that they may end up in poverty themselves or be required to do something that's dishonorable to make money. So they just hold on to everything and they say, well, I don't give, but I also don't take. And they feel themselves justified because of that. That's not as bad as some of the other manifestations over here, but that's not liberality. And people like that quite often look at people who are liberal or generous and they say, oh, those people just spend money like it's going out of style. No, they're spending the money on the right things. Aristotle says that if you actually are generous, you focus more on the giving and less on the taking, whereas these people focus on not giving and on just keeping, you know, whatever it is that they've got coming in. Others take from the wrong sources. Others go to excess by taking in ways that they shouldn't, from people that they shouldn't, more than they should. They might be greedy, they might be covetous, they might look at their neighbor's stuff and say, man, I'd like to have that. And Aristotle talks, it is very interesting here, he talks about those who ply the sordid trades. What does he mean there? Dishonorable professions. And he's not talking about dishonorable professions like sweeping floors or washing dishes or things like that. That he would probably consider to be menial, but still decent work. He's talking about pimps, panderers. He uses these terms. Robbers, those who get their friends involved in gambling so that they can cheat their friends out of money. These are the kind of people that do the wrong things to get money. They sell something else out. They don't realize that they're doing it. In part, again, because they tend to be focused more on what they're getting and not what they're losing in the process. But Aristotle says that sort of thing is clearly on this side over here. It's an excess in taking correlative to the deficiency in giving. Some people genuinely are greedy, he talks about, and those are the people who are going to be very hard to get out of this. Notice that this can apply to a lot of different situations. It can have to do with money itself. Do you give gifts? Do you give charity? You know, what do you spend your money on? It can have to do with the relations that we have with people who we purchase services from. Do we do so in a generous way, like a generous person would do, or in a stingy way, or a greedy way, trying to just squeeze everything we can out of them? People who are involved in the service industry, they can tell when you're doing that. Or do we just throw money around and, you know, try to be good time Charlie to everybody? That's actually not a good thing, according to Aristotle. You could think about other cases, too, where it's involved in the reciprocity that takes place in relationships and friendships. If somebody takes you out to dinner, the proper thing to do, they have now become a person that you ought, in return, to give to by taking them out to dinner. Now, if they're rich and you're struggling, and they take you out to a really nice dinner at a fancy restaurant, you may not need to take them out to the same exact thing. That would probably be prodigality. You could take them out to a smaller thing or take them out to coffee and say, yeah, this is what I can't afford, but I did want to, you know, I did want to give back to you through that reciprocity. The stingy person would say, well, it's nice that you did that. See you later. Or they never pick up the check, or they never get the round of drinks, or in the Secret Santa at Christmas time, they never contribute. You've seen these types. These are things that we can easily identify. I'm willing to bet that in every one of your lives, you've seen some people who are prodigal, you've seen some people who are greedy, who are tightwads, who do the wrong things for money, who are willing to sell the wrong things out, and you've seen some people who actually are genuinely generous, or what Aristotle would call liberal-minded. And these are the characteristics that Aristotle thinks that they would have. So it's good to keep all of this stuff in mind. I think there are a lot of resources out there that teach this sort of thing productively to people, including a lot of the money management and even some self-help things. Hopefully this has helped you to put this in perspective, so now you understand Aristotle's views on this. You can get past the archaic translated vocabulary that people are using and Aristotle's style and see that this is really a set of concepts that apply to our everyday life.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.